first virtual episode of Behind the Red. I'm blessed to have in front of me our guest today, Luca. In and out of the cadence of your heart tonight, cause I'm faded, I'm too lost in your eyes to notice that I'm high.
Yes, sir.
This man's on and popping from the first song to the next song.
Yeah, man.
Let's get into a little bit about you. So you're from New York?
Okay. Fuck yeah, bro. Born and raised. I'm from Harlem, man. Harlem my whole life, like 2/5. If anyone is from Harlem, like, they don't know 2/5. Like,
word.
Crackhead area, to be honest, but we love it.
Hey, some of the best artists came out of Harlem, you know what I'm saying? So literally.
Bro, it's a fact, bro. I mean, I was just talking about it tonight, bro. Like, some of the best artists just came out of Harlem, bro. So I'm ready to, you know, continue the legacy, bro. It's been a while, you know what I'm saying? It's been a while since we heard about Harlem in the music scene. So
most death.
Kind of want to see what's, you know.
Yeah. But I will say, your style is different from, I guess, most New Yorkers right now, because a lot of New York's that, like, drill type beat. Am I wrong?
Bro, you're not wrong at all. Like, the wave right now is drill. Queens, I mean, Brooklyn, Bronx, like, it's a whole culture right now. So you don't see R&B right now, and that's where, you know, that's where I come in.
So where do you get your inspiration from, since you're around, like, I guess, like, New York? When I think of it, I think of, like, drill music, yeah, like Biggie, yeah, like this type of stuff.
But you know, yeah,
you have, like, the real vibes going on, you know what I'm saying? So where do you get your inspiration from?
That's a good-ass question. Honestly, like, most inspiration has come from a lot of older artists, bro. Like, I'm like such a Marvin Gaye head, Al Green, Prince, Sade. I love Michael Jackson. I mean, I love, like, just these older, like, just kind of like generational, like, talents. Like, I love the older R&B, neo soul, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, like, the R&B, all the R&B world is my influence.
Most def. Okay. And I also noticed, or I saw in your Spotify bio, that you've been playing piano since you were 3.
Bro, yeah. I don't know if anybody else has got it put in, like, yo, like, in classes when they were a kid, but yo, yeah. Like, my mom, like, forced me to play, like, piano when I was, like, 3 years old. And I did it for, like, 8 years. And I hated it.
Really?
And it's crazy. Like, the only reason I'm able to make music now is because I had those piano lessons fully, like,
off
to my ear. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I literally, at the time, you don't realize how important it is as a kid. But, like, it came back around so heavy. Like, I literally thank my mother all the time for it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Word. That's crazy. So, like, does your family have, like, a musical background, or?
Yeah, honestly, like, my dad, he used to, like, own a recording studio in Spain. You know, he's from Spain and whatnot.
Word.
And my aunts and my uncles and whatnot were in really, like, huge bands back in the day in Spain. So, you know, they were, like, huge in the music scene, and they were always, you know, in the industry. So I have, like, you know, a little bit of a foot in, but not in the U.S., but, you know.
He has a cheat code. That makes sense.
Yeah, straight up.
So do you ever ask, like, your dad for advice on music at all when you're making stuff, or?
I think, like, especially when it comes to the business side of things, like, when it comes to, like, you know, I remember releasing Serotonin and being, like, OD, like, down at the beginning. Before the song had even come out, I was just like, you know, I've been submitting the song to 1,000 places, and it was getting turned down everywhere. And I was like, yo, like, I was like, I didn't know how to feel about it. And I was talking to my dad, and I was like, yo, like, I just don't know, like, how, like, you know, what to do in a situation when I feel like why am I releasing music if no one's gonna accept it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's moments like those where my dad has been in the industry, and, you know what I'm saying, he can tell me, like, yo, like, so it's a long game. It's not, you know, an artist doesn't get broken in, you know, in a year. It takes 3-5 years, you know. But that's how you create a true career. You know, I need it. Sometimes you need those words, bro. And definitely, like, that's when I go to my dad.
Or for the seal of approval, you know what I mean? When you're feeling a little down in the dump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
And I'm sure he'll be honest with you, like, this one's not a hit, you know what I mean? Or this is a hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm sure artists can have hits, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all got some flops here and there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course, you can't. Every song's not going to be it. But, of course, like, if I go to my dad, he's not going to lie. He's going to tell me. But I think it's always important to gauge what, like, an older listener thinks of the music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a huge part of my music is that, like, I'm making it so that like 20 years ago, people would have listened to the song, and in 20 years, people would still listen to the song. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I want people of all ages to be able to, like, that's what makes it classic, is like music that carries like across all platforms and all ages.
Well, definitely, like timeless music. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, exactly the word that I use, timeless, man.
Word. So you're like part Spain, obviously, I assume, right?
Or part, yeah, part, I don't talk about
not Spain.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you know Spanish?
That's crazy. Yeah, I speak Spanish fluently, actually.
Got you. So do you plan on incorporating any of that into like your songs?
Bro, that's a good question. I honestly have never thought about it. I always am like, I know it's a whole new world and a whole new audience that I could tap into, but it's like, I never want to come off as corny. I feel like I got to train myself first. Like, I speak it mad well, you know what I'm saying? But I have to like, I want to make sure that when I do it, like you hear me on the track and there's no debate on whether, you know, on how I sound, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want it to be true. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come off corny, especially like, I know my family members will cut eyes about me singing in Spanish. I just know it. Like, it's crazy to think, like, I'm like, they really would. Like, I feel like I need to practice my Spanish first. But I feel like down the line, I have to incorporate it into my music, bro.
What's that? It's like, I guess, put like your roots on a track, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Bro, straight up, bro. It's important.
Word. So let's talk a little bit about Serotonin, you know what I'm saying? So that's like your first official single, right?
Yeah,
so going
bro.
Into making that, you said before it came out, you were trying to like release it on like you were like sending it into like multiple platforms and stuff. So
yeah.
Was the song already complete at that point?
Yeah, it was complete. It was actually already like I had already submitted to the distributor. Wow. I was like ready to go. It was just like private link at that point. The private link, but ready to release like on the date. And yeah, I just like, you know, I think a lot of artists like don't know that that's the key, is like submitting your song to every place.
Word.
And like I spent hours, and I would just hunt down, like you go on Spotify, you go on People's Discovered On, and you see what playlists they're on, and you just hunt. You hunt for those emails, you hunt for those Instagrams,
yeah.
And you reach out directly to those curators, and where did, you know, your song ends up on their playlist. It's like, you know, that's the most important step, is the submission. I think that that's something that holds back a lot of upcoming artists.
Most definitely. So why did you choose Serotonin to be your first single out of, like, I'm sure you have a lot of songs in the vault already. So why have all the songs?
Yeah. Serotonin? That's crazy. You know, actually at the time I didn't have that many songs. It was like back in October. Or so, and I just really, you know, I just really started recording music. Mm-hmm. So, it was one of my first like two or three songs. So, you know, like, it was the best out of what I had then. And I just like something about the way, you know, the chord changes, the synth, the drums, you know, we were in the studio, we made it. And I was like, yeah, like, this is it. Like, you know, I've truly felt like the way it flowed was just like meant to be. It feels like a classic.
Most of that. It's definitely a vibe, man. It's like, it gives me that, like, I hate to say LA since you're from New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? That kind of vibe, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't like
course,
to put people in categories,
course.
But it gives me like the Jaden Smith-ish like vibes. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. It's mad chill, like laid back.
Yeah.
But at the same time that it's like chill and laid back, like I feel like the most important thing for me when I'm making my music is like, since I'm so involved in the production, like as at the end of the day, like I really like, as long, even if the song is chill, there's so many elements that go into it. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different things, so many different instruments that, you know, that you may or may not hear, but that you feel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So definitely a lot of chill vibes, but a lot of like intricate production.
And you help produce a track, right?
Yeah, I actually, I do most of the instrumentation and the mixing and mastering for all of my tracks.
Next question, okay. Got
yeah.
It. Word.
Yeah.
How to produce over COVID?
Yeah, bro, like, yo, like, literally over COVID, I was on GarageBand, and I was, like, I was like, oh, like, you know, this is kind of fire, like, I could do something, and then I kind of, like, I joined a band, and in the band, I kind of wanted to become more useful, like, to the lead singer, so I wanted to learn, like, a real program for how to make music, and this was only, like, a year and a half ago or so, and so I just kind of, like, I would sit in my room, like, every night, and I would sit there just, like, from, like, 1 a.m. to 7 a.m., like, literally just, like, practicing how to like make beats, like making like shitty beats and just like putting my voice on shit and seeing how it would sound.
Word.
And just like until I finally like started making shit that was like meaningful and that was kind of like I felt like was next level. I kind of locked in the sound, you know.
Word. Okay. You said you're in a band. Word.
Yeah, bro. It's like, so
you can't just throw that out there and just try to slide past it. Wait a minute.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, bro. Like my start became, you know, kind of came from my band completely. I don't know if you know another upcoming artist named Araya.
How do you spell it?
A R A Y A.
I think I've seen the name actually.
I promise you have. He's like, you know, he has a Spotify single out, and you know, he's been true. He's been popping off. You know, he has he's been truly popping off. But basically, I found him through a jam session one day, and we kind of ended up becoming close. And he kind of basically ended up forming a band behind him. And so I basically just kind of started playing guitar for him.
Okay.
And this was before he blew up, and then he kind of blew up, and shit started going well. And that's when I kind of picked up producing, when I was playing really just in the back guitar, and I was just doing live guitar stuff. But then I was like, yo, like, I want to do music. Like, this is not just music. Playing live is not just music. I was like, I want to put a song out. I want to be able to, like, I want to be in front of the computer. I want to help out. I want to record him.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I don't want it to just be me. I play every once in a while in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I kind of picked it up, was like, I wanted to produce for him, for Araya. I wanted to be the best for him. And through that, I just like kind of found my sound. I found like I was making real stuff. And I think, yeah, like that's kind of how it went. Yeah.
Okay. So like, do you feel like playing in the band help you like perfect your like guitar even more, or like help you find your like more of your sound with the guitar?
100%. I mean, you know, the more that you play, the better that you get, the more that, you know, the more that you understand, the more you're able to kind of freely move. And I think that it helps so much, but not even as much, you know, as much as it did help on that side, like it just really taught me about the industry. You know what I'm saying? Being with an artist who is really, you know, like coming up, like it taught me like what moves I had to make, and it kind of showed me exactly like what to do and what not to do in certain situations. And I got to like, kind of, you know, yeah, like that band was like the test, like, you know, was the test run almost, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I watched it all unfold in front of me. And I just realized that although I like the backseat of production and all that stuff, like I wanted to be in the limelight, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be in the front. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be an artist. So I was like, you know, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it. And I got to just like release a song. And so that's why I decided to go with Serotonin. I was like, it's such a great song. And like, I know it was at the perfect time when like I had a feature actually with Araya that we had just made. Yeah, and yeah. So like, I wanted to put out like a song right before it so that, you know, at least I would have a little bit of double traction, you know, from the feature too.
Who is this? And they see your work. They're like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Right. Something I wanted people to have something to click on when they saw the feature. So really the song was just kind of like, it was kind of at first just to have something out for when the feature came out. And I really didn't expect it to go to like, you know, to go as crazy as it did or like hit the reach that it did. Word. But, you know, shit happens.
Word. Clearly, you got something going, you know what I'm saying? So don't give up whatever
you're
doing,
man.
Feel me?
Fuck yeah, bro. I'm going to keep pushing.
Yes, sir. So actually, I want to talk about Alter because that's actually my favorite song.
Like, yo, for real.
It's fire, bro. And like, it's definitely really personal, like super personal.
Yeah, and, you feel it, bro.
Alter and Serotonin are two different things, obviously. Serotonin is like a happy thing, you know what I mean?
And right. Alter is like a
complete opposite. So during that time period, like what happened between the two to make you write Alter?
Yo, it's so crazy that you ask. I honestly like, to be completely honest, like I was like in a relationship at the time, right? And I was in a long distance relationship.
Hey,
and you know what I'm saying? And I know that we could all relate, you know, at some point. And it was really tough because, you know, you hear the lyrics, it's like, is it easy to stay here beside me like when my heart falls away? It was like I felt like the whole time, like my significant other was holding on to something that wasn't there and was making it so much harder for us to like let go and to be happy, like overall, you know what I'm saying? I felt that like I was in so much pain because I felt like I couldn't like end things with this person. And I was trying to like find, like I was trying to, I just felt like it wasn't right for me. And I think that like at the time she didn't understand that. And like, it just made me have this internal conflict of like, I wanted to still like, I wanted her to come back and be happy. But at the same time, like, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And it's like, is it like, and I was also upset. It was like resentment. Cause I'm like, how can you hold on so hard? Like when you see that things are going, you know, going south, when things are not going our way, how can you keep holding on and making it harder for us in the end? And it was just like, it was, that was it. Like, I was just like, it was like feelings of like resentment, but still love. And it was like, how do you deal with them? And like, how do you let go? How do you let go?
Word. That's super deep, man.
For
that's
sure. Yeah, for real, man.
Like, you definitely know yourself.
I think, yeah.
For sure.
Bro, I feel like number one thing, again, what I learned from the band is like, and what I learned from that lead singer is like, real music comes from real experiences. You know what I'm saying? If I could, rap, you know, I could sing about whatever I want to sing about. I could, you know, I could spit about whatever I want to spit about. But at the end of the day, like, what's really going to resonate with someone is a true experience. You know what I'm saying? And when I wrote Serotonin, yeah, it was, you know, it was still a true experience. When I write Alter, it's a true experience. Every song that I write, I want it to feel real, because that's when I feel like people will always, always, always connect the most and like run it back. You know what I'm saying? And like give those lyrics a deep listen, because they'll try to like connect it back to themselves.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, Alter definitely is like, it's been a loopy for a little bit, man. I'm like, am I going through a heartbreak? I'm like,
yeah. It's so good. The guitar solo. I wish I could have my my producer here. He's like my closest producer.
Did you get the guitar on that one?
So not actually, that was my producer. He did Now for Alter, I gotta say my producer went crazy. His name is Will, and he does a lot of stuff for Riot too. He did the guitar solo, the bass, and all the guitar, and even the organ. He's a key master. He's a guitar master. So
Production is mad advanced though, like super advanced. Like I listen to this, and I'm like, he's gotta have like 2 albums. I'm sitting here searching for
more.
Where is it at? We need it.
Yeah, you know, bro. There's so much that goes on, bro. And I think a part of it is the, you know, is the fact that I'm in front of the computers. I know exactly what I want. And, you know, since I do the mixing and stuff, I know how to make it sound like what I want. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just sitting back. This is another important thing. And this is not to like, you know, like say anything to artists who don't produce their own music. But I think that what tends to happen is that, you know, it's hard to lock in your sound if at the end of the day, like 50% of the music comes from a producer, comes from separate producers. You know what I'm saying? You can lock in your voice, but I think that like I have like the one lucky thing of like being able to own all of the sound. You know what I'm saying? I like, I dictate exactly every echo, every drum. I build it. You know what I'm saying? I sit there and I'm putting out one by one, every jump, every single hit, every single bit of reverb you're hearing. You know, it's like, that's what, you know, that's what makes a music music, is that deep level of production, like whether people notice it or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cause it's catered to exactly how you want it to sound. Like you have this idea in your head.
Exactly.
It's hard to get like 4 people to paint on a canvas and come up with the same thought.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Do you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and I think that that's happened to me so many times. Like I'll be working on a song and then it gets to a mixing stage and then it's like, you know, it's someone else's brain is on it now. And so things change, you know, but that's just, you know, always something to think about. Yeah.
Most death. So with the 2 singles out right now, should we expect anything this summer?
I know I'm very, you know, I'm very slow, calculated with my releases.
Kendrick over here.
I like
Kendrick and Rihanna.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I'm like, and the most important thing to me is that when I release a song, it must be better than the last. Or if it's not better than the last, it must still be like amazing. It has to be breaking some boundary. It has to be great. I'll never ever settle on a song. And that's why I think it takes me a while to, you know, come up with my things. But, you know, I definitely have a 3rd single on the way. I mean, like, trying to think now, like, yeah, sometime, you know, August vibes, you know, we're hoping to have a single out. And, you know, we're going to have a little bit more backing this time. We've been getting noticed by a lot of people now. So going to have a lot more love on this one. What I'm really, truly excited for is the debut EP, man. Like fall. Debut EP in fall, man.
Hey.
Yo, you know you gotta get it early, man. I'm telling you, man, I believe in my heart, like I have some true generational classics on that EP. Like songs that are like really like, you know, like that just remind you of the like Frank Ocean type, you know, just classic nights. Like, it's just the next level. It's just so next level, bro. I've been really trying to lock in the sound, you know. I'm really just trying to work on new era R&B, man. It's just like expanding those boundaries.
What is new era R&B to you? You know what I mean? Because I feel like what some people think of is like Jacquees or fucking Bryson Tiller-ish. But that's like 2015 R&B.
That's what I'm saying.
It's been almost 2 years. You know?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like when you listen to R&B today, it's so static. And again, not to go and come for any other artists, but let's just take an album like Summer Walker's most recent album. It's like R&B should be somewhat groundbreaking. It can't be beats that say the same through the whole song. You have the same beat. Mm-hmm. It can't be the same melodies. It can't be the same vocal chain. That's not what we're going for anymore. It's just so static. You hear that same women's vocal chain, the same male vocal chain for when it comes to R&B. And it's just like, I want to hear something different. I want to hear something new. I want to hear singing. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we've lost a lot of energy and a lot of like motivation to come up with melodies that are truly captivating. I feel like it's mad, like wishy-washy right now. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's very repetitive R&B right now.
And I think and it's like, songs have like bridges now. Like, you know, most old school songs have a bridge. Like it's almost two
bridges.
And now it's just like we get the same song the whole time with the hook.
That's what I'm saying.
A verse and another hook. And it's just like, okay, it's not bad.
Yo,
not
I bad. Say it every time. You know? I say it every time. It's like verse, hook, chorus, verse, hook, chorus. It's the same thing. It's literally the same exact thing. And it's like, when I'm making a song, like there's a chord change in almost every single one of my songs. There's a drum change in almost every single one of my songs. There's new instrument coming in. That's what I mean by new era R&B. It's like not sticking to the genre completely either. You see, like we have something like Serotonin to me is R&B. Alter to me is R&B. You know what I'm saying? But I think like that's what R&B should be, is like, it should be abstract. It should be a little bit of everything. I'm bringing these rock elements in when it comes to, you know, alter. But when you hear, it's like almost like R&B people right now, I feel like should like try to step out of the R&B music of the production that's going on behind it and try to come up with like R&B melodies over more like different types of music. In the sense of like take a rock beat, like alter and like come up with and use your voice and use your melodies over it. It's like, I think that way, like things change a little bit, but it's just like the same, you know, FL Studio beats that it's like the same. It comes and it's like, it's just, it feels a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It feels a certain way when you listen. It just sounds so like the same to me, copy paste right now. Most so
definitely. Like your mind wanders when you hear good music. You know what I mean?
Exactly. 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 Fuck yeah.
Let me think. So TikTok now. So you're hip to the TikTok scene. You know what I mean? So what do you think about, I'll say, I feel like a lot of labels or artists even now are pretty much just trying to make songs for TikTok. I mean, so, do you have a TikTok song ready for the EP? What you got ready? You know what I mean? Or what's your opinion on it?
I think that TikTok, like, I have so many things to say about TikTok. I think that it's so hard to say because I'll tell you my personal experience with TikTok. I don't use the app at all. I don't scroll through it. I'm not a person who's, you know, is into my phone like that. I'm not really a social media guy like that. So, you know, it's a little bit tough for me to get into it, number one. But number two, what I think hurts a little bit is, for example, talking to these major labels, right? I'll be, you know, where I'm talking to these A&Rs and they'll tell me that the music is amazing, but, you know, they'll be like, yo, but why aren't you on TikTok? It's like, imagine someone is telling you your art is amazing, but, oh, like, have you heard of TikTok? It's like, damn, like, if you discovered me, you scouted me, and you love the music, like, it sucks that then you're going to be like, yo, like, it's like, yeah, you know, then you're going to throw me, like, TikTok inspiration ideas as opposed to, like, you know, trying to push the music. It's like, I feel like we're losing the art. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make, like, I come to make music. You know what I'm saying? And somehow now, like, I feel like I have to add, like, an extra, like, social media side that's, like, you know, like, yeah, it's just, like, I feel like it's, for that reason, it hurts a little bit because I want to be making music to make music. And it sucks that, you know, these major labels are looking for that TikTok side as much as they are. But what we have to remember, whether we like it or not, is that there's a billion people on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? It's not a billion people on YouTube. Not a billion people on Spotify, not a billion people on Apple Music. I'll tell you that much. So when you have a platform that big and you have people from everywhere in the world, you know what I'm saying? it would be wrong not to use the platform to try to, you know, to like push your music. And that's why I get why labels are saying it. But I think that we need to start looking at artists for art as, you know, a little bit more than we are at, you know, at TikTok and stuff like that. Because especially with music, like music has the power that, you know, you don't need to look at your phone to like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't need to look at your phone. You don't need to look at anything, you know, to hear a song. You don't need to look at anything. It just comes, you know, you hear it. It comes into your ears and you decide. Like, exactly. You don't need anything visual to go with it. And that's why it's so powerful. It carries. It carries across, you know, sound waves. So it's just like, there's, I feel like, you know, adding, I just feel like, again, what we were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, it's that attention span. It's like people like just, they want a little bit more to engage with because there's just, you know, not enough going on for them. So I feel like, but, you know, it's annoying, but, you know, it's a huge platform. You got to use it. You know, if people, you know, if people really want to see it, then you got to give it to them because, you know, succeed, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, like if you want to be an artist, you got to, you know, you got to push it, you know, you got to push, you got to do what you got to do.
The main thing is like sure. Labels just really, they're like, okay, if we sign you, we need to make money off of you. And the quickest way to make money off of you is TikTok, or that's like the most, that's right. The easiest way to, I guess, like monetize you or to get you popping. You know what I mean?
Exactly, bro. Instead of like, you know, like career building, which is what I feel like labels like, you know, always did, is like you bring someone who you feel like has a lot of potential and, you know, you start pushing them. But now I feel like it's a lot of like, they don't want to like push you until they see it. They see it come, you know, they see it before, like, you know, I just feel like, yeah, we just got to look at the art a little bit more, you know, a lot of like, you know, stop being so distracted by the other things, you know?
What's that? So speaking of art, I feel like you're a pretty artistic dude. You know what I mean? Pretty creative guy.
Yeah.
So, I also see this model, right? You model?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I do model. I do model. Yeah.
Right. So tell us a little bit about that. You know what I mean?
Yo, modeling life. Nah, modeling life is good, man. It's like, you know, nowadays in New York, I feel like everybody is a model, bro, because like really? They're just looking for, yo, they just look for unique people, you know, unique looking faces. Like, and I feel like, yeah, like I got a unique look and I love it. It's really cool. You know, it can be a little bit intense. You know, I was just actually doing like a Foot Locker casting like 2 hours before this. Yeah, I'm dead. Really? But yeah, nah, it's like, you know, it could be a little intense because they're like, you know, interviewing you and whatnot. And, you know, not to bring TikTok back into it, but even sometimes at the castings, you're like, so what's your TikTok? It's crazy now how they even bait. Really? It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like, imagine industries where you didn't need. That's what I'm saying. You imagine, yo, imagine needing a TikTok to become a model. It's like, it doesn't, to me, it's not making sense. Like the industries have been so warped, but yeah, I love modeling is very cool. It has like a lot of great opportunities, but there's those times when you get sent to those, like, you know, those castings and you're in a group of like huge people and they're cutting you down one by one, like eliminations. Word. And it's like, yeah, it could be mad intense. It's like, everybody's like, you watch everybody do their walks in front of the judges and you got to go walk in front of the judge. It's crazy. It's mad crazy. But yeah, I recently did something for like Calvin Klein. Man, super excited for that to come out, like some campaign for the fall.
Just casually at Calvin Klein.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I'm so hyped. Like, that's like, Fruit of the Loom. Nah, right, Fruit of the Loom. I'm hyped because I feel like that, like, come on, like, who doesn't wear Calvin Klein? I'm not hyped for that.
That is so. You get like free gear with it or what? Like,
no, they don't give you free gear, but you know, like,
a lot of the underwear, do you have to give them back or like?
Yo, that's a good. Yo, yeah, you do. That's a good question, bro. Think about it. What do they do with the undies, bro? Because I'm dead. Like, I'm serious. Yeah, they really took them back from me when I was done. So you tell me, bro. They were like, yeah, you could take them off and put them on the hanger. I was like, bro, you sure you don't want me to keep these? Man. Crazy.
So definitely, but yeah, bro. You wear before you wear them if they're new.
Yo, yeah, bro. But yeah, bro, the modeling life is cool, though. It's very cool. It's very cool. And it just opens up mad doors, bro. Opens up a lot of doors.
What did you ever think about getting into acting?
Yo, great question. I was just talking about this today, too. I feel like, yo, like, not gonna lie, like, with my memory, if someone had to make me memorize a script, I would be lost. I would be lost. I don't know if it's the za. I don't know what it is, but I would not be able to remember any of my lines at all. It's so crazy, bro. Like, actually, I had a dream 2 nights ago that I literally forgot my lines on a stage, and I was like, I'm never gonna be an actor just for that.
you crazy. Euphoria vibes for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
Hey, you could have been Elliot. No cap. You could have been Elliot.
Yo, that's crazy. That's a fact. It's a fact, bro. The euphoria. You might have to see me the next season, bro. I'm dead.
After the Calvin Klein, ad comes out, we might
see That's what I'm saying, bro. But really, exposure is like that, bro. In a lot of industries, bro, nowadays, it's just like, people just want to see your face often. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you get a lot of connections. It's just seeing, going to places. You know what I'm saying? Going out.
Wow. So do you feel like living in New York is almost like in a way, not a cheat code, but it gives you like an advantage?
Yeah, cheat code immediately.
Of entertainment, you know what I mean?
All around it, bro. I mean, you're around so many artists at all times. You know what I'm saying? So many other people. And for that reason, it's like everybody is trying to support each other. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's trying to make it. So everybody's going to each other's shows and like, you know, supporting and popping out to the events just to try to like help other people. Because it's like, that's what's so amazing is everything is so close here. Everything is so close. You know, everything is walking distance. Everything. For that reason, you're just on top of so many different types of creatives at all times. And it's lucky, you know, I could have a videographer that's my, you know, my homie. Like, I had like 10,000 homies who are videographers, who are stylists, who are this, you know what I'm saying? It's just so, like, it's perfect. Like, for doing art, like, this is just such a dream city to do it in.
That is dope, though, because, like, that's always been my, like, idea if I ever go to New York. That's, like, the
kind
the people I want to be around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but New York, of course.
It's a lot of people to be around.
But you understand, it's so, but that's the thing, like, New York is so small, that's the thing. It's
only
like
New York
so,
to say that. Only New
yo,
York.
It's not, it's, because the thing is, like, it's, like, there's so many people here, but it's such a, like, geographically small city.
Yeah.
Like, there's so, like, if you go to LA, like, it's just so spread out, like, you cannot walk anywhere, like, walk anywhere, like, here, you can walk anywhere. You can take the bus anywhere. You can take the train. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything's just mad on top of each other. Not on top of each other.
I feel that. And going back to, you said people in New York like to support each other. Is there anyone that you want to collab with at some point in the future in New York that you're, like, thinking about?
Oh my God, that is such a good question. There's a lot of artists coming out of New York right now.
EP, even.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. You got, it's pressure on me now. I'm trying to think of some great New York artists right now. Yo, I have one of my mans who's a rapper, insane, super talented. His name is Najee. Definitely want to get a collaboration in with him. It's Najeh on Spotify, like Najee. He's a great artist, like super lyricist, super, he's from Harlem too. He's from Harlem too, so
gotta support each other.
100%, 100%, bro. Like, that's someone who I would love to get on a track with, like, super talented.
So you want to collab with like a rapper? So, like, do you also rap too, or are you like strictly R&B, or like,
that's a good question. I think that, like, I'm mostly like strictly like R&B singing. I'd be like a hook type man, you know what I'm saying? Drop the hook, let him spit. But I also, like, you know, I mean, there are some tracks that I, you know, that aren't released that definitely give, like, I definitely have rap verses. I have a ton of verses that are definitely like straight rap. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I try to whenever I rap, I try to make sure that it's really like hidden the way it should be. I feel like there's a very fine line for making rap sound good, especially for like the type of music that I'm making, like, to spit in like a good way and to have a clean vocal chain is tough. Yeah. It's tough.
And I think a lot of it depends on like the bass of your voice almost sometimes, you know what I mean? Some people just have a good ass voice off rip, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, 100%.
Like, I wish I had some more bass in my voice. Like, sometimes, like, whenever I talk to someone, I gotta like ask some more, like, hey, yo, what's up? You
know? I wish
I could have like that Tyler the Creator where you naturally got the Adam's apple like a fucking fist, you know?
Bro, but it's really about that, like, and for that reason, like, my voice does not work on certain mics. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like, y'all hear myself on a mic and I understand that there's certain mics that sound amazing when you're rapping, especially when you have like a lower end voice. Like, it really depends, but you're mad right, bro. Like, people have rap voices. People have singing voices. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely think when it comes to rap, like, it's mad specific. Like, it has to be how your voice sounds. It has to literally be the tone of your voice. Like, that's what makes you stand out. Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
You're from New York, so I know you can throw the New York accent on there and lay down some Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
I'm dead. I'm from Ohio, so we don't really got much of a Bow Wow and Cameron.
We really got the OG. We got the Dead Eyes. You already feel me? We have a lot of
about Bone Thugs. You know what I mean? Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Facts. I'm good. Yeah, but fuck yeah, bro.
One of the last things before we wrap it up. You know what I mean? What made you want to become an artist?
That's a really tough question.
You need some new to taking it, I guess, serious, right?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think that I never, ever, ever in my life thought I would become an artist. I never expected myself to like see myself in a place where I was like performing on stage. Like even like my college essay is about how I would never be a musician, which is crazy to think about now. But I think that what it came from was like, you know, when I was in that other band, you know, it was a place where I was forced to take a seat behind, you know what I'm saying? I was forced to be behind the camera. I was forced to be making the music and I was behind the camera in a way that, you know, I realized that it showed me that that's not what I wanted to be. Like being in that environment and seeing someone else as an artist and me being the backup showed me that like, that it inspired me. It was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to walk on stage and people are looking at me and people are yelling. I want to be able to upload a song on Spotify. And when people listen to, you know, it gets real listens. It's not something that just goes unheard. I want to be able to like release a song so that, five-year-old kids can listen to it in the back of their car and remember the song for the rest of their lives. Yeah. I want to be an artist because I want to be the best. I want to create the best music and I want to create legacy. I want to make an impact on the world. And I think that, you know, I know I can't do it through writing or academics. So I'll tell you this much, like music is the one thing that I know that I can truly touch people with. And I know that I have something. So I want to change lives with my music. I want to inspire people. I want to like show people what music truly can be.
Most definitely. And I honestly definitely believe you have a true future in this industry for real. You got me refreshing every day to see there's another job. So if you need to take your time and perfect the EP, go ahead and do it. Yeah. Don't just rush and release some bullshit. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Exactly.
Take your time,
bro.
Do it your own way. You exactly. know what I'm saying? But it's definitely working for sure.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, bro. Like, definitely gonna keep pushing, bro. Like, I think, it's time. It's all time. And everything comes together in time. But I'm just gonna continue to keep, you know, making the best that I can, man.
Most definitely. We definitely all got to link up in person sometime, you know what I mean? Like, this is
virtual. Yo, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to slide by the city, bro. You know I'm going to get you lit. You know I'm going to get you lit, bro. You're going to get you right. You're going to get you right. I'm dead.
But bet. Yeah, any last words to the fans?
Appreciate y'all having me on here. You know, all love. I'm excited to see how this comes out. Fuck yeah, bro. Peace, everybody. Just sending love.